I guess we should begin by defining ethics from the viewpoint of a philosopher. Can you give me a thumbnail definition?
Well, it's basically the study of right and wrong. So ethicists want to know what are some general features of right acts and wrong acts? What are some general features of just policies and unjust policies?
Now, the purpose of this interview isn't to render judgment on the argument for or against same-sex marriage. Rather, we're looking for a different tool to help us think about this question. To that end, how would a philosopher frame the question of whether Illinois, or even the nation, should grant same-sex marriage rights?
One thing we might do is look at a couple basic principles of political morality. So one popular principle that gets implicated in the same-sex marriage debate is the principle of government neutrality. And the idea here is that the state should refrain from making controversial judgments about the ultimate purpose of life or, you know, what's truly of value, or you might just say the meaning of life. This idea has been used by both sides in the debate. I mean, both defenders of same-sex marriage and opponents have used it in defense of their view.
Which philosopher or philosophers provide some foundation for approaching this question?
Well, the traditional view that government should remain neutral can probably be traced to the British philosopher John Stuart Mill, who was writing in the 19th century. But it's become extremely popular in contemporary American philosophy.
He was a famous utilitarian, wasn't he?
Right.
And when you say neutrality, do you mean government shouldn't take a step to ban same-sex marriage, such as the ban that's currently in Illinois or at the federal level called DOMA?
So I think virtually all defenders of legalized same-sex marriage will appeal to this idea of neutrality. The state should avoid taking a stand on these controversial questions of the good life. And most of them there will appeal to ideas from John Stuart Mill or John Rawls. On the side opposing same-sex marriage, interestingly, many of them will appeal to exactly the same two philosophers, but just offer a different interpretation of their claims. There's also some appeal to a traditional view of what marriage is. And some of those philosophers will appeal to people in the natural law tradition, especially to Catholic theologians.
For those who are listening right now who are looking for a new way of thinking about this, mm-hmm. What does the study of ethics, the practice of ethical thinking, what light can that shed on the process of arriving at a conclusion?
You want to see how your judgments about some cases, especially controversial cases like same-sex marriage, are going to fit with your judgments about cases that are much less controversial. So you'd want to take the practice of same-sex marriage and see how we can relate it to other practices that we agree are unjustified. So opponents of same-sex marriage will often want to say that if the government were to authorize same-sex marriage, it would be imposing on citizens, in particular on those who are opposed to same-sex marriage. And most of us think that there are certainly some cases where the government shouldn't impose on the moral beliefs of citizens. That seems like it's a general judgment that we accept in many other cases. At the same time, proponents of same-sex marriage want to say that denying same-sex marriage is essentially on a par with denying interracial marriage privileges. And there's another case where there's an analogy drawn between a controversial case and a much less controversial case.
I've always wondered what a philosopher thinks about hotly debated, you know, controversial topics being discussed in a parliamentary setting,
yeah.
If you will. What are your thoughts about this this process playing out in the Illinois legislature?
Politics is certainly different from philosophy. And one reason is that politicians have to compromise. They have to do what the public wants to some extent. And they stand for re-election, where philosophers don't. So I think the result of that is you sometimes get public policies that, from a philosophical perspective, seem difficult to defend, but you know the reason for them was that politicians had to make compromises to get what they wanted. One thing that's nice about the same-sex marriage debate in particular is that I think the moral arguments that philosophers make are not all that different from the arguments that politicians and leaders are making in the public square. So I think the arguments that philosophers have given both against and in defense of same-sex marriage are really just fuller versions of the same kind of arguments that political defenders and opponents of those positions have offered.
So a rare moment of harmony in thinking between philosophers and politicians?
Comparatively so.
Jason Hanna is a philosophy professor at Northern Illinois University. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.